all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 6 as we continue our series, Restoring My Joy, the series that never ends. We're praying the Sermon on the Mount is where we're going through. And so today we're talking about the causes of worry. We have some experts in the house, amen. Most of us know a lot about worry. We like to do that a lot. And today we're going to talk about that and what it shows about us. Today is a message on values and on trust. Worry shows us our values and it shows us our trust factor. And so that's what it's all about. Most sermons that I preach are an evaluation. They're an evaluation of your life. I want you to look at yourself and say, where am I at? Where am I headed? You know, where do I need to be? A lot of topical preaching is. I guess you'd say it's making us look at ourselves from a spiritual standpoint and seeing where we're at. And so that's the days. It's no different than usually. So in Matthew chapter 6 there in verses 25 through 34, it's a long passage here, but this is probably one of my favorite passages in the New Testament because I have a tendency to look at things. I look at the glass half empty a lot of times, okay, rather than half full. And so it's something that I battle. I've told a lot of you it makes me mad about myself because I don't like to worry. I don't like to be in a hurry. I don't like to have stress in my life because it shows that I'm not trusting God. It's putting myself in control. It's making me feel like that somehow or another I'm playing God, and I don't like that about myself. And so I battle this. And so this is a scripture I've got hanging on my wall in my office. I read this a lot. I've preached on it a lot. As I got ready to preach this message, I went back and looked on the computer, and I've preached a message on this worry probably about as much as I have anything else. Amen. And so a lot of times you wonder what preachers preach. A lot of times we're preaching to ourselves just as much as we're preaching to you. Amen. So I have not arrived in this area. Okay? I had preachers say one time that I don't ever preach anything in an area that I hadn't overcome. Well, I wouldn't preach much, okay, about maybe once every couple of months. Okay. And so this is an area I hadn't arrived at, but it's one I'm striving to. I want to be better at this. I want to trust God more. And this kind of points out some ways that we can do that. So look there in Matthew chapter 6, starting there in verse 25. And I'm going to go through here. Again, this is one of my favorite scriptures, so I've read this multiple times. And so I've tore this verse apart, and I like this more. I like doing this more. I don't do it as much in my messages as I like to. You hear me do it some, and so we're talking about doing some things up here. We're talking about putting a screen up here where I bring the verses on and point out some things, kind of like what Andy Stanley does. I like that kind of stuff. I like pointing out things about Scripture. I like for you to underline things. I like for you to give you kind of the definition of the word. I mean, we're taking something that's Greek and Hebrew, and we're translating into English. And so a lot of times those words kind of lose their translation in the translation. It kind of lose their meaning sometimes. And so I like to do that. It means something. It really lays it out for us a lot more to it, okay? So here we're going. We're getting ready here. And again, we're continuing. Here's a Sermon on the Mount. And this is Jesus' big day here. He's preaching this message. And so if Jesus was here today, he'd be preaching the same thing. Maybe not this same topic, but he'd be preaching the Bible, amen? And so we know what he'd be doing if he were here. He'd be preaching the Word. And so then he throws out here, as you get over there in chapter 6 there in verse 25, it's a continuation of something. And so before, he's talked about money. Remember last week we talked about money. I know that was a unique Easter message, but I wanted people to realize that so much of our lives are being invested in things that are not going to last, and that's what a lot of people are doing. And so then he goes here, and let me start here in verse 24. It says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And then it throws it on. So here comes the therefore, okay? So it's continuation. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? And I'm going to read through this, and we're going to go back and kind of dissect this. Look in verse 26. It says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who are you by worrying could add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes and see how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Verse 31, So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all those things. And it says, your heavenly Father knows that you have need of them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. And each day has enough trouble of its own. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to this familiar portion of Scripture for many of us. Because we deal with a life of values, we deal with a life of worry, and God, there's a lot of things in this world that are not right, and we see that, Lord. And we're not trying to not live in reality, we're not trying to take ourselves away from those things, but God, we want to live trusting you, knowing that you're in control of all and in all. And God, you know what's going to happen tomorrow, just like you know what's going to happen today, Lord. We're so thankful that you're already there taking care of those things, and we don't have to. And so, God, help us learn to trust you, Lord. Help us learn to value you more. And God, teach us through this scripture today, dear God, that we can, God, be people that are different in this world, Lord, that we don't let the things of this world bother us like the other people do in the world, Lord, that they might see something different in us because our trust in you. So, God, give us that trust that only comes through knowing you better, God, trusting you more, Lord. And, God, that brings us to love you more. So, God, use this message, God, to heal us, encourage us, and strengthen us to be more of the people of God. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, and amen. So let's look at it again here, and let's dissect it, and we go through here. It says, therefore, and we carried it back there. What he's saying here, here's a couple of things you need to do. First of all, in verse 25, he says, here's some things that you don't need to do. Here's what you don't need to do. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, or what you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. And then he goes into a series of questions that we need to answer. So he's asking, here's Jesus, he's asking his listeners, he's asking us, here's something I want you to contemplate, here's something I want you to think about, okay? And so there's a right and there's a wrong answer to these, okay? So here he goes, the first one, he says, is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? And the answer would be what? Nobody knows the answer? Well, man, let me give you it. Yes, yes, he says what? Let's go again. Is life more important than food, the body more important than clothes? Yes, yes. Okay, here we go. Now you're catching on. Okay. Then he gives an example. Verses 25 through 30, he throws you some examples in here. He takes something of everyday use that everybody knows about, kind of understands, and he gives us some examples here. But he throws in some questions out. He says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and let your heavenly Father feeds them. And here's your next question. Are you not much more valuable than they? And the answer is what? Yes, man, we're a lot more valuable than the birds. Yeah, I hope you are. Verse 27, it says, who are you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? No one. He's saying, how do you think you're going to do anything valuable? How are you going to add a single hour to your life by worrying? No one can do that. Then he goes on in verse 28. It says, why do you worry about clothes? See how the lily of the fields grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. And if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown away tomorrow into the fire, how much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And then he goes on, he says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? And then he goes on, he says what? He says in verse 32, he gives us an example, for the pagans run after these things. He's talking about the folks that are not even saved, the folks that are lost. He says the pagans run after those things. And your heavenly Father knows that you have need of them. But then here he goes. He's telling us what to do here in verse 33. He says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What's he talking about? He's talking about our needs, the things that we need. He's a loving heavenly Father. He'll meet our needs, not all our wants, but he'll meet our needs. And then he goes on. Here's a reminder in verse 34. He says, therefore, there's that word again, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. And each day has enough trouble of its own. So as you go through here and you dissect this, what you're doing here is you're asking yourselves a series of questions. Jesus is asking you this question. He's wanting you to answer those questions. And then what he's doing, he's giving you illustrations. And he says, you're far more valuable to me than the birds are. You're far more valuable to me than clothes are. You're far more valuable to me than lilies in a field are. Because why? They're here today and gone tomorrow, okay? And so it's over. They're not as valuable as you are to me. So he's saying, if I take care of those things, can I take care of you? And the answer to that is what? Yes. Okay. Well, we got it. We can go home. Okay. We don't have to worry anymore because God's got this. Okay. It's showing that God is in control, and he's showing us how he takes care of things and how he'll take care of us. And so let's get into the message. Opening is what do you worry about the most? What do you worry about the most? Ask yourself this question. The Holy Spirit will reveal that to you. What do you worry about the most, okay? Well, what we were heard about, a lot of people, it's our family. Some people, it's money. Some people, it's health. Worry is dwelling on something over and over, dwelling on something negative over and over again. That's what worry is. And what we have to ask ourselves is this. What worry does, it shows us something that values us. There's not anything wrong. I won't call it worry, but being concerned with things. I mean, if there's a rattlesnake standing in here, right here, I mean, I'd be concerned about it, okay? I'd be really concerned, okay? And some of you wouldn't be here, but I'd just be concerned as long as it kept its distance. So there's not things that we shouldn't be concerned about, or we can call it worry or whatever. Now, God's not saying that at all. That'd be foolish, okay? I mean, there's things. I mean, your child running up to a hot stove, that ought to be something you're concerned about. I mean, that's something you do someday. You get in a hurry, okay? He's not saying that at all. He's saying the basic things of life, though, why would we worry about those things? Because we have a loving, caring Heavenly Father that's given us all these things, and He cares about this, cares about us, okay? So He's laying it out here. He's telling us what should we value. So it shows what we value the most. And what we value the most is what we live for. Listen, make sure it's valuable. What I'm saying today and what God is saying here today is make sure the things that you do worry about, because all of us do, make sure the things, because that's what you value, make sure the things that you value in life are valuable. And that's what the sermon was about last week. If we value a lot of things, they're not going to last. They're going to be wood, hay, and stubble. They're going to be gone, okay? Two things are going to last. What did we say they were last week? What? People and what? The Word of God. Two things, people and Word of God. So that's what we ought to value the most. People and the Word of God are going to last. They're going to last for eternity, and we need to understand it. It's valuable. So look what he says in Luke 10, 41 through 42. He gives us an example here. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. And so what do we see here? We see an illustration here in Luke here. He's saying what? It was something that was special. Jesus was going to show up at their house, okay? Now just think about it. All of a sudden you got a call, and Jesus is coming over, okay? And you got 2 days to get ready. I mean, man, you clean the place up. You do everything you could. I mean, you put the best china out. You do. And so what we had realized is that's what Martha's doing. She's preparing all these things. But what happens is when she shows up, Mary just kind of sits down. Because why? Because she's infatuated about Jesus. He's the guest. And so what we have to understand is that when we really care about someone, we really care about who they are, we really value that person, it's not so much about what we do with them, it's how much time we spend with them. And so what Mary was doing, she was spending time with Jesus. And Jesus is saying what? The relationship is more important than all this other stuff that you're doing. Oh, I'm sure he enjoyed the meal. I'm sure he enjoyed all the things. I'm sure he noticed all the things that were done before he got there. I'm sure he appreciated those things. He's not saying anything's wrong with that, but he's saying what? You're doing what? You're spending your time, you're putting what's valuable to you, your time, into something that really doesn't matter. But what matters the most is my relationship with you. And so I'm here in your house, so you should spend time with me. I should be the one that's getting the focus here. And so Jesus is laying it out. So what have we to choose? What we choose to be valuable is what we live for in life. And what that does, it causes us to worry about things. When I begin to value something and I think I'm in control of that thing or that person, then what it does, it makes me worry about that thing. It makes me think that I'm in control, but we're not in control. We're not in control at all. And Jesus is warning us to look past this world. And Jesus says, don't worry, three times in this scripture that we read. And then he tells us what he tells us. He says, don't worry. And then he tells us what to do. He says to look in verse 26. He says to see in verse 28. And then he says to seek in verse 33. So he's saying you don't need to worry because you need what? You need to be looking, you need to be seeing, and you need to be seeking. And all those things, what they do is they're pointing us to Him, pointing us to Him, pointing us to Him. He is to be our center focus. And when He is our center focus in life, then our worries are less. We don't have to worry because we know that He's got it. And so what I seek first is what I value, and that's what I'm committed to, and that's what my life is lived for. And so let's get down into the heart of the message here. What do my values do for me, and what do they do to me? What do my values do for me and what do they do to me? Well, first of all, my values show what I'm committed to. My values show me what I'm committed to. And it shows not only me, but it shows other people. Matthew 6 and verse 24, it says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one or love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. We learned that last week, and then he throws it in it this week also. So he's saying what? You can't have a divided commitment. Doesn't mean that money's not valuable. Doesn't mean that at all. But compared to God, God is so much more valuable, and we can't be committed to two things. It shows us what I believe to be important in life. And what I do is I spend my time, my talents, and treasures on it. You know, I mean, a lot of times people, they try to look at their motives. You know, they try to say, I don't really understand what's valuable to me in life. And I keep coming back to this and coming back to this over and over and over the years. How do you know what's valuable to you? Well, you look at where you spend your time at. You look at what you spend your talents on. What's your talents? Your gift. I mean, the things that you are able to do, your talents and all those things. And then also your treasures, where you spend your money at. Those are the things that you value. Where you spend the most time, the most talent, the most treasure, those are the things that have value to you, and that's why you do those things. Those are the things that are consuming you in life, and they reflect your life. And so where does God place in my life? That's the question here. Where does God place in my life? Where does He measure up here? How much time have I given God today or this week? How much of my talents? How much of my treasures? How much of those things am I giving? Because why? It shows the value of God. My greatest commitment should be to Christ. Our greatest commitment should be to Christ. And when it's not, then there'll be a check in your spirit. It's a loss of focus. You'll have something will be wrong there. And so here's one that I like to say too. What do I talk about the most? If you want to know what interests people the most, what do you talk about the most? Well, you know, some people say you become what you talk about. Well, if that's true, when I was in high school, I'd have become a girl because that's what I thought about most of the time, you know. So, yeah. And so, amen, that's what, you know, girls, boys, you know, so in my day anyway. And so, but what do we talk about? So what do? So we talk about what we care about. We talk about what we value. We talk about what we're committed to. And so what I talk about the most shows how much it means to me. And so let me ask you, how much did you talk about Jesus this week? You know, how much did you talk about Jesus this week? Did you talk to anybody? Did you share scripture with anybody? Did you pray with anybody, you know, this week? Did you kind of get along with anybody and talk to them about their situation and what God can help them out? And so, again, you say, well, man, everybody knows I go to church. Well, big deal, you know, big deal. A lot of people go to church, but that doesn't mean they're close to God, okay? It's just somewhere else to go. And so what it means is what we value, what we're committed to, we're going to talk about it. And that's one of the things that we can see how committed we are and how valuable God is to us. Well, the second thing is this. What I value determines who I become. What I value determines who I become. And in Matthew 6 and verse 33 says this. It says, for the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you have need of them. Listen, what he's saying is when you throw in your lot with the folks that all they're worried about is the things of this world, I mean food and clothes and all these different things, then what he's saying is you're throwing your lot in with the pagans. We call them heathens today, okay? I mean, you're lost people that don't even know the Lord, don't care about the Lord. There's people out there today that's doing all different kinds of things, and they're having a big time doing it, okay? But listen, one day there's going to be called accountability, and we come to accountability. And what happens is a lot of times what we do is we take the things that God gives us and we use them against Him. You know, we take wealth, and a lot of times we do with greed. We take love and we turn it into lust, and the devil always has a counterfeit for the things that God gives us. And a lot of times we use those things against God and don't glorify Him in Him. And so what he's saying here is he's saying, what are you running after in life? So I become what I'm committed to. And so the question here is what am I running after in life? Look at my life. What do I value? Here's some things. My life reflects my commitments. If it's money, then I'm running after a job. I'm running after a position. I'm trying to move up the ladder. It's all about how much I make. Popularity, it's an image problem. It's the way I dress. It's the way I want to make an appeal to people. I want people to see me. I want to have a big house and a nice car and nice clothes, and I'm worried about my image. If it's happy, it's all about fun. It's the next trip. It's the next game. It's the next hunt. It's always, life is about a big party. It's about a big having fun, and that's all life is about. But also what it should be a Christ. And when Christ is first, what it should be is faith is my life. This is my life. I mean, when I talk, you say, what do you talk about a lot? I talk about this. That doesn't mean I didn't talk about other things. I mean, when it's deer season, I talk about deer hunting. When it's turkey season, I talk about deer. When it's fishing, I talk about a lot of different things. But let me tell you what. My focus is on Christ. Because why? Because He's the most important thing. Amen? These other things we can enjoy in life, and we should enjoy it. I mean, these things are given for us to be enjoyed, but they're not to become our God. They're not become to what we spend our life on. They're not become the most valuable things in our lives, and we get them out of order so much. And so how do I know those things? How do I know what I value? What what I think about it? It's what I talk about. It's what I live for the most. And it points to my heart. We have a heart problem. And Proverbs 4 and verse 23 tells us this. It says what? Above all else. I'd say that's pretty important. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. which means that a lot of what comes out of our mouth and the actions that we do, all it's doing is reflecting our hearts. So that's why we should be guarding our words. That's when we say something that's hurtful or we be critical or things like that. That's why it should bother us, because it's coming out of our hearts, reflecting who we are on the inside. And we have to understand that. So it's a reflection of us. And it points to what we value in life the most. And so what I give my heart to is what makes me. It becomes my God. It becomes my God. Well, the third thing is this. My value determines where I go in life. My value determines where I'm going. Where are you going in life? You know, you're going somewhere. You know, your life is not just a vicious circle and you're going to go around and around and around and around. You know, it's not like that at all. You're going somewhere in life. And what you're committed to, what you value, your goals, your aspirations in life, it's setting a course for you, whether it's either right or wrong. It's setting a course for you, and you have to understand that. So it determines where I go. And my destiny is determined by my values and by my commitments. And so I have to measure my goals. What are my goals? What are important to me? What am I living my life for? For some of you, all you get up for every day is to go to a job to make money, because your whole life is consumed with retirement. You think that somehow or another you're going to get to this utopia place in your life and you retire and everything's going to be great. Well, just talk to some folks that's retired, okay? I mean, I'm 55. I'm kind of thinking that way. Man, I'll be glad when I retire, you know? But then you go get with some folks that's retired, and it's like they're sitting there, well, I don't have anything to do. I don't know what that's like. Well, you want a little bit of my stuff, you know? I mean, and then usually what happens when you retire is your kids start giving you their stuff, amen? The next thing you know, I don't know how time to work, because between doctor's appointments and taking care of my kids and my grandkids, I ain't got time to do anything, okay? So that can happen also. But a lot of people, their whole life, it's easy to fall into this focus, especially when you're consumed with finances and money and all that. And that's what we're in. That's what we talked about last week, is materialism. That's what America's God is, materialism. All of it's about, if I can get a bigger and a better, then everything's going to be great. Well, that's not necessarily true. And we have to understand it. And it does what? It makes us short-sighted. It makes us live in the wrong direction, the wrong path in life. And it has consequences to it. And we have to understand. So we have to think, we have to step back from time to time and say, what am I living for? Or who am I living for? What's most important in my life? What do I value the most? Because that sets the course of my life. That sets the direction of my life. And that's what other people see in me that are they know is important in my life. You say, well, I really don't know that. Well, ask the people around you. They know. They might not tell you, okay, but everybody needs to have a friend that can tell you the truth. You know, that's what a real friend is, it's somebody that you can trust and come alongside and say, what do you think I live for? What do you think that I value the most? You know, and some of them, if you have a real friend, they'll kind of spit and sputter and he and kind of smile at you and say, well, I really don't know. Yeah, I really want to know. Yeah, I really want to. Everybody needs to have that person in their life, and you probably don't need to be your spouse, okay? Because that can cause some conflict. But I've told you, but I've had a couple of people in my life that I have given permission to, and they've given me permission to, is what we call speaking truth in each other's lives. And when we see something that we feel like is out of place, or we see somebody, we're doing something wrong, then we have an agreement, hey, I'm going to speak truth in your life. And the person that does that needs to be a person that you know cares about you, a person that really loves you. They're doing this because they care about you and because they love you, and they want to see you succeed. They want the best for your life. And so there's some folks in my life that I have like that, and I talk to them on occasion, and I share things with them, and then they share things with me because they know me, see, because we've had relationships for a long time. Everybody needs that kind of friend, amen? Everybody needs that kind of a friend. So it's scary. So it's, oh, man, they'll know everything about me. And that's why we pay counselors for, because they don't really know me, and I go tell them what I want them to know, and then let them make a diagnosis from what I told them, okay? Well, if you're a counselor, you know better than that also. And so we have to understand, everybody needs that person in life. Because why? Because it's important. It's where we're headed in life. It's the direction that we're going in life about that. And so my choices have consequences. I heard this a long time ago. I can't remember who said it, but I can choose my choices, but I can't choose the circumstances of my choices. You see what I'm saying? You can make choices in your life, but you don't have control of the consequences of your choices. So where you're going in life really matters. Because see, you got a choice in that, but the consequences of it, you really don't. Because it's going to carry you somewhere, and it might be carrying you down the wrong road. You might get to the end of the road one of these days and realize, man, is that what I've lived for? Is that what I've valued? Is that what I've put my trust in? Is this this? Listen, if anything besides God, it's going to let you down. So a lot of people are climbing the wrong ladder. Because when they get to the top, they look around. It's like, man, if this all it was to it, I wouldn't ever, I'd never went to the effort to get here. Okay, and a lot of people live their life like that. So my choices have consequences. They show others my value and who I am and where I'm going in life, and what I really trust in life. And so what Jesus is saying is, when you value your values are right and you have me in the right place, then I don't have to worry because I know He's in control and I'm trusting Him. And I'm saying, whatever, God. Whatever, God, whatever, God, whatever, God, you know. It's like what Trina was saying this morning in our prayer time when that machine messed up with her mother. They got together, they prayed, and they said, well, you know, I mean, nothing happens by accident or mistake. There's no such thing as luck. You understand that? I mean, you know, and so what we say, well, there was a reason for that, so we're just going to go on without that, okay, because it might have been something wrong with that, or it might have not done the right job or something like that. So we understand that. And so a lot of times, and what bothers me a lot of times is this, I won't say I'm a road rage, but I get mad at folks. You know, man, when you're around me, use your stinking blinker, okay? I mean, that burns me up. Man, it's got a purpose for that little thing, okay? It's like, use the thing, okay? And then, you know, there's certain things, and I had to get, you know, but this is what I try to make myself think. This is what it's like, okay, listen, God, you're trying to slow me down because this old Sunday driver here, because maybe I'm avoiding a wreck. You know, maybe something's going wrong, you know. And so, you know, so I start trying to talk to myself. Maybe there's a reason for everything. And so there's always, there's a reason for the guy that always drives in the left, the fast lane. I mean, how do you like those guys, okay? I mean, get over in the, I mean, I went to Memphis yesterday coming back, you know, and I go to Memphis through Jackson. I mean, that's how I like to go. And so I got over here, and here comes, and here, get over in the left lane, you know, I'm in a hurry. I've been gone all day. I've heard it and wanting to get back, you know. So I pull over here and get behind this old guy. And here he is, this left lane. Here's a guy in the right lane. It's like they're just talking to each other. You know, it's like, come on, man. But, you know, but y'all, if you know, I've got a Jesus sticker on the front of my truck. And so it's like I can't blink my lights and honk my horn. You know, it's just like, man, you know. But after I get by them, I can, because they don't see it no more, okay? You know. But no, I'm just kidding sometimes. But it really bothers me. So, but again, it's like I try to reel myself back in. Well, hey, slow down. Take a deep breath. Everything's going to be all right. Maybe, you know, God might be, that might be your angel holding you up because there's something going on, you know. So I try to make myself think like that. Because why? Because we get aggravated in life. Because why? We're always in a hurry. I'm the type of person, I'm in a hurry when I don't have anywhere to go. I mean, that's just how I talk fast, I eat fast, I live fast. That's just how I am. And man, if you're in my way, get out of the way. I'm in a hurry, okay? And so, but that's just my life. And it makes me mad about myself because it makes me feel like that I don't trust God. And I really want to trust God. I really want to be in His will. I really want to be valuing what He values and putting Him in first place in my life, if we have to understand it. So when we play God, it's when we have to worry. And we better worry because we're not in control. We don't have control in our lives, and we have to understand. It's kind of like driving on ice. When it's like letting go of the steering wheel. You don't have control anymore, and it causes us to worry. And so what He's saying here is, do not worry, Paul, because trusting Him is the key. Trusting Him is the key. And so what I value in life, I'm gonna give it over to Him because I trust Him more than I do myself. I know that He knows, okay? I know that He knows, He cares, and He's able, you know. We sang that song today, He is able. He really is able, amen? And we have, and to those of us that know Him, the more you know Him, the more you'll trust Him, and then you're willing to let go of those things because you trust Him with Him far more than you with Him, with yourself. And so you want Him to be part of that decision. You want Him to be part of your plans in life because you know that you can trust Him. So trusting Him is a key to not worrying. And what is the payoff of that? Well, it's a life of joy. It's a life of peace. We have a Savior. We have a heavenly home. Matthew 6:33 tells us, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And what's He talking? He's talking about our needs is what He's talking about. All these things will be given to you as well. He's talking about our needs. And so all those things we fret after, and all those things we run after, and all those things we press after, and we're in a hurry for all the time, He's saying, relax. Just relax. Take a deep breath. Don't stress. Don't sweat it, okay? Don't sweat it. Just trust me in those things. And man, we're living in a world where it's hard to do that because it's just out in front, go harder, work harder, do more. And it's all a lie because it all is trying to tell us that we're going to be happier, we're going to enjoy life if we do those things. But that's not necessarily true. That's not true. It doesn't work out that way. And so the last thing is this. As you look at your values and all these things, and so I want you to know that there's a price tag in putting God first in your life. You need to realize that. And so the last thing I want to bring is out. And so my values have a price tag. What I value in life is what's important. And every, whether it's good or bad, it's going to have a price tag because there's good and bad in all. And I want you to know when you value God more than you do anyone or anything else, there's a price tag that goes along with that, okay? And he lays it out here for you. Here's a very hard verse. Here's a verse that people kind of push their Bible back and think, man, I don't like this. I don't like the way that reads there. In Luke 14 in verses 26 through 27, it says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother. Ooh, that's some pretty hard words. But we know that God's told us to love our family, love our parents. And so it's like, is there a contradiction? Then he goes on. He says his wife and children, his brothers and sisters. I mean, so basically he's saying, you know, you're going to meet the people that you value the most, okay? I want you to hate them, is what he's saying here, okay? Then he goes on. He says, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Let's read it again. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brother and sister, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. So, man, that's hard. That's some hard stuff. That's some hard pushback there in the Bible, okay? And so we all think about Jesus as love, love, love. You know, love your neighbor, love. You know, who is your neighbor? We know everybody's around. So love, love, love. So all this, what's this hate stuff, okay? Well, I can assure you some people in the crowd in the Sermon of the Mount, they started pushing back. Whoa, what's this hate? Who? I hate my father, my wife. What he's saying is this. This is what he's saying. Our love for God should be so much greater than our love for anyone or anything else that it would be assumed as we hate that. Because why? Because we're going to neglect those people. We're going to neglect those things. If your life is centered on God, and you're carrying your cross, and you're following God, and He's your focus, okay? He's saying the benefit of that is you don't have to worry because why? You're giving it all over to me. Because I'm your focus. So he says, but the price tag of that is the people around you, they'll feel neglected. They'll feel left out. They'll begin to question you. They'll begin to say things like, man, you're a fanatic. You know, really in the modern church today, a person that's really on fire for God, most people look at them and say, man, them people are they fanatics. Well, what Jesus says is you're a disciple, see. See, we don't understand. See, a disciple is someone that follows Christ. And so when you follow Christ, what is your life going to look like? One thing it's not going to look like worry, you know. It's not going to look, and your value system is going to be different. See, you're not going to value the things that the world are because why? Because you know what things really matter. What's the things that are going to last? What? People and what? The Word. That's what's going to matter most in your life, and that's what you're going to value, and that's what you're going to spend time on. And your conversation, what you talk about, it's always going to be seasoned with God in it. It's always going to be seasoned with Jesus. It's always going to be talking about God loves you and God cares about you, you know. And let's pray about this, okay? You know, I was eating lunch with a guy the other day, and we got through, and he says, well, let's pray about this. And I'm thinking, man, is it that desperate? I mean, no, just kidding. But I mean, a lot of people think that, okay? It's like, has it come to that? Pray for it. But it should be something natural for us. It should be something, it's just like breathing. It's just like living. That God should be so much in our lives that other people around us criticize us. But there's going to be a price tag to that. You need to realize in the world that we're living in today, people won't understand you. People are going to reject you. People are going to make fun of you. And we don't always have the nicest things in life because this world is not what our focus is on. We don't focus on material things, and so we give things away. We're the type of person that we like helping people. We understand that we're more like God when we're giving than when we're receiving, and we want that. We want to be godly, and so we give things away. We're not focused on making a living. We give up time. Yesterday, I went to another DR thing and got some more training. Boy, one of these days, boy, I'll be through. But I got some more training. But one of the things we were talking about, you know, why so many people don't go on those things is because they don't want to give up their vacation time. They don't want to give up their time. But again, what did I say last week? I started saying my life, my money, my. But what? None of it's mine. It's all His. Well, see, when you're focused on God, you get that. See, this is not my life, it's His life, and however how He wants me to use it. And I'm looking to do what? I'm looking to invest in people, other people's lives, to make a difference in their life, that they get this also. And that's what our focus is. But you're going to be misunderstood. And even the closest people around you, your parents, your husbands and your wives and your kids, are going to say, well, I'm not at the top, you know, I'm not your main focus, you know, I'm not the most important thing. And the answer to that question should be, you're right, you're not. But let me tell you, you'll be a better husband, you'll be a better father, you'll be a better wife, you'll be a better friend if God's at the top. Amen? And the people around you that know you the best, and they have a love for God also, that's where they'll want you. That's where they'll want God. They'll want him at the top. Because why? Because then you do what? You're a person that's valuable to them. Because why? Because they know that what? They have godly content. They have somebody that is in love with God and put God at the center around their lives. And what it does, it kind of just spills off. You kind of like their cup overflows, and you say, man, this little bit of it run off on me. I read a story here not long ago that a guy went to a conference, and the keynote speaker was Billy Graham. And so it got time for Billy Graham to come out, and they had a band that came out and played and everything like that, and the band began to, and so it was a big roar in the stadium, and there's several thousand people, and if you've ever been to a concert, you know how it's just kind of a roar, just everybody talking at one time. And all of a sudden, the lights kind of went down and everything, and it was getting ready for Billy Graham to walk out. And he said it was just like a holy hush just went over the whole Coliseum. It's like nobody was talking. Nobody was saying anything, you know. And he says when Billy Graham walked out there, he said it was like God walked out there. He says it's like God showed up, you know. Well, let me tell you what. Why is that true? Because people knew that God was in the center of Billy Graham's life, and they wanted to know what God had to say. Amen? When Billy Graham walked out, he spoke, it's like God was speaking to him. Because why? Because a man of God or a woman of God that has God in the center of their life, God's going to speak to them and he's going to speak through them. So when they walk out and they start talking, it's like, man, I want to know what they got to say because I know that they're spending time with God. And it's something it shows in that person. It shows in that person's life and in their speech and the way they live their life because it's what they value. But there'll be a price tag with that because you'll be misunderstood. And it'll be almost like you hate those other people because you're not investing in their lives like they think you should. But that's not true because you care about them more. And so here we go. Watch this whole message. Let's wrap it up. Let's land the plane here. It's a message of value. What do you value the most? What's valuable in your life? Well, what do we say? It's where you give your time. It's where you give your talents. And it's where you give your treasures. You know, how much did you talk about Jesus this week? Did you even mention his name, you know? Did you pray before you eat? I mean, are you ashamed of that, you know? You don't want to bow your head because when you get ready to eat a meal in front of people, are you ashamed to bow your head and pray, you know? I mean, that's not, what is that saying? What's that saying about you, you know? I mean, when you give your finances, with your money, what is it? This is mine. It's all mine. And when you throw some money into the offering plate, you think, well, God, I'm giving you. Well, see, it's hard to give. All we're doing is giving back because he's the giver, okay? I mean, about your talents, the things you're good at. I mean, the skills that you are. I mean, are you willing to sacrifice them for God? If God calls you out to do missions, we're getting ready to do Mission Blitz. You know, why would you not sign up for Mission Blitz? I mean, you can go plant a flower garden or you can go to a nursing home to sit down and talk to somebody. I mean, what's an excuse for that? I mean, come on, guys. I mean, you know, come on. You know, something very simple, very easy. It doesn't cost you hardly anything, just a few hours, you know. So think about it. You know, why would you not sign your name on that? This is why. Because, see, those things are not valuable to you. See, what you think is you're more important than they are. That's what the problem is. And what he's saying is when you think that, what it is you're playing God. And when you play God, you better worry because you ain't got control. And everything's way out of control when you're thinking like that. But when you put God in control, you back away and say, God, here I am. What do you want me to do? Here's my life. Here's everything I have. And so I ain't got to worry about it because I'm depending on you because I know you can take care of it and I can trust you. So in closing, look at what we say. Why would I worry? Why would I worry? Why would I worry? And then the lesson to learn today is God is able. And so we say what? God knows, God cares, and God's able. Whatever you're dealing with in life, wherever you're at in life, okay, God knows that. And then what you have to understand is God not only knows those things, God cares about those things. He cares about you, see? Why would he preach something like this? Why would he preach a sermon like this? Because he knew a lot of people had a lot of things that they were valuing that wasn't very valuable, okay? And I think we're guilty of that sometimes. But we know God knows, we know he cares, but we have to realize where not worrying comes in is when we understand that God's able to take care of those situations, you know. He's able to take care of those things. The things that we need in life, he's able to take care of those. And he's telling us here, I'll take care of those things. As long as you put me in the center, as long as you keep me at the top, I'll take care of those things. Might not be everything we want in life. God never promised that. You might not have the finest of everything in life. God never promised you that, but he said, I'll meet your needs and the valuable things of life. And then the application is this, is do I trust him enough not to worry? That's where it hurts. See, that's where it hurts me. Like I said, I have this scripture on my wall. And so when I start worrying, I look out at my bird feeder, okay? And I read my scripture and I say, man, God, I know I'm more valuable than birds are to you. I know I'm more valuable than the lilies are to you, you know. I know I'm more valuable than clothes are to you. I know I answer those questions that I went through with you at the first. And I said, what? And I say, yes, yes, yes. Yes, and then he asks, he said, why would you worry? I don't have a reason to, God. So why am I worrying? Because you hadn't gotten me where I need to be, and that's at the top. And your focus is not on me, it's on your things, and it's on you and what you want out of life. And so my value, the things that I'm value, is not the most valuable things in life. Because what's the most valuable thing in life is He is. He is. He is. Amen? Amen. So today, let me tell you what. I don't give a lot of hope for you about worry if Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior. That's the first step, see. What bothers me is this. See, I've been saved now for 30-something years now, and I still worry at times. That's what bothers me, see. But maybe you're sitting out there today, and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let me tell you one thing. You need to worry, because you are going somewhere in life. And your decision about Jesus Christ determines whether you go to heaven or hell. All of us in here is going to live for eternity. 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years from now, we're still going to be alive somewhere, either heaven or hell. And our decision about Jesus Christ determines where we go. I'd say that's something you ought to be concerned about, okay? And I'm saying if there's never been a time in your life that you've done that, then you ought to be somewhat worried about that. Because one, hell is for eternal. And we talk about how heaven's going to be there, and we're going to live with God forever and see all our family and friends. It's going on forever. Let me tell you what, just like heaven's going to be eternal, hell is going to be also. And this is your chance. This is your choice that you make about that. And so I'd say that's something you ought to be concerned about, okay? Because let me tell you what, it's something that's important to life, and it means something to us. So what about it today? Has there ever been a time in your life where you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I didn't say join a church or get baptized or take the Lord's Supper or any of that. I said, listen, there's a time where you submitted your life to Jesus Christ, and He's your Lord and Savior today. Has there ever been a time in your life where you've done that? You know, well, the answer to that question should be yes. And if it's not, then you don't need to leave here today without it, because none of us know what's going to happen after we walk out of this building today, okay? None of us know that. But those of us that have answered yes, and those of us that are Christians and we know that, then listen to me tell you what, we don't need to worry, because God's got us right here in His hand. Amen? We like to say He's got the whole what? He's got the whole world in His hands, and that includes us, and we can trust Him. Amen? We can trust Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You today. We talk about a subject that a lot of us know a lot about. It's worry. It's dwelling on our problems, our difficulties, our wants, what we think is our needs. And so, God, we just kind of continue to show concern and worry about those things, because a lot of times, God, we get You out of the center of our lives and we make ourselves the God and we think we're in control. But, God, we're really not. And so, God, help us put You where You need to be, and that's at the top of our lives, on the front burner of our lives, in the center of our lives, God, and our focus is on You. And when we do that, God, then we open ourselves up to less stress and less worry, and then we have an opportunity to have joy and peace in our lives, because, God, we know we can trust You, God. And so, God, help us be able to do that today. Let Your Holy Spirit flow in and through us, Lord. And God, whatever we brought into this room today that we're worried about, God, let us leave it here and walk out knowing that we can trust You in the matter. Doesn't mean everything's going to work out just like we want it, but, God, we know we can trust You to work all things for Your good and for Your glory, Lord. And let's just trust You with that, Lord. God, I pray for those in here today that might not ever accept You as Lord and Savior. And God, they're just kind of going through the motions. They're showing up at church, but there's never been a time in their life they truly committed their life to You, Lord. God, I pray today will be that day that they commit their life to You. So, God, let this be Your work. This invitation is from You to them, and let this be Your work. And we pray all this in the precious name of Jesus, and amen. Amen. Let's all stand. If you have a need in your life you want to pray me to pray with you about or for you about, or you just want to come to the altar, or maybe you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, or maybe you want to join this church and be a part of what God's doing at Mount Vernon Baptist Church, then you come and let it be known, okay? Jill?